Ezekiel 3:10. We'll read through verse 21. The Bible says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv, that dwelt by the river Kibar, however you want to say it. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." We're looking at our great responsibility to warn others. We've been looking at that, but I just want to hit it again and hit it strong, because we have a great responsibility to warn others. It's before us. And honestly, if anything, I think this is maybe this and prayer is one of the things that's lacking most within churches today. Genuine, regular prayer in people's lives, but also being a watchman, a soul winner, whatever you want to call it, and doing the work of an evangelist, going out and sharing the gospel with people, however you want to term it, whatever you want to call it, it's lacking. But we need to understand we have a great responsibility to warn others. Let's pray. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, you're good to us. God, we have so much we don't deserve. Lord, thank you for our health. We're praying for some with cancer, for Sula, for my father, for Miss Leah, whose liver's failing her, God. Her body's not working, but we're here, and we can walk, and we can see, and we can hear. God, you're good to us. You've given us much. Lord, you've given us spiritual eyes. But God, there's those out there that don't see yet. They're blinded by the God of this world. Help us be a messenger to them. Lord, as hard as it may be for us, help us. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us boldness to speak thy word, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, one of the greatest responsibilities, if not the greatest responsibility of every individual Christian, is to share the gospel with the lost. Every Christian, see, if we can get burdened down with that, where we see that the responsibility of taking the gospel to people is, if we could each say, it's my responsibility. I'm afraid too often we don't see it as that. I'm afraid too often we see it as, you know, the preacher, he's the hired gun. And I really don't think that's the case for most of the people here. But sometimes it can be the attitude we have. Well, I'm not really supposed to do that. No, he gave pastors and teachers. Let's go here to Ephesians real quick, please. And again, I know some of you, you do share the gospel, so I'm not picking on you, but maybe just to challenge you to stay on fire for sharing the gospel. Ephesians 4:11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." What did he give them for? What did he give these teachers, these gifted men? Why did he give them? Get it, verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints." What does that mean? To make you sinless? No, he's talking about to mature you. Just like it talks about 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto every good work. What's it talking about? He's being complete. He's being mature. So that's what it's saying. For the perfecting, the maturing of the saints. For what? What are the saints going to do? For the work of the ministry. For what now? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify means to build up. So he's given these gifted men to perfect or mature the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry, so the saints can build the body of Christ. So you all can do that. And any shepherd's going to lead by example. So I should be doing that as well. But it's for you. That's what it's there for. It's not just certain people's responsibility within the church. It's everyone sitting here. Everyone in here's responsibility to take the gospel. We have a responsibility to warn others. It's easy to fill our lives with things that keep us busy so we don't have time to obey God in this mandate. That's easy to do. I think all of us are like, I'm busy. We got a lot to do. Hey, sometimes then you need to cut some stuff out. I'll just get rid of it. If you're so busy you can't serve God, you can't give God anything, you're too busy. I'm just telling you right now, maybe we need to cut out kids' sports. Maybe our extracurricular activities, whatever that may be. Just get them out. Get rid of them. If we're too busy to serve God. I'm talking even school. Even school. I get sometimes, you might. Some of you kids are going to be like, amen, preacher right there. But I'm serious, I get sick of it that school kids are so busy sometimes. They're up so late sometimes doing work. Maybe this is just my home, I don't know. But they're tired to serve the Lord. And they're so busy with things around school that they don't have an opportunity to really serve God. That's wrong. I mean, I take this how you want. I'd rather have them fail and still serve God. Amen! I'd rather have them fail. You think, what? Yep. I'd rather have their team lose every single game and them serve God. And you guys know I like to win. But that's how I am. Why? Because serving God's the number one thing. Let's teach our children what's really important. Let's teach them what is really important. And I'm telling you, that they're going to catch it by watching you. By watching what you do, they'll catch it. They'll also catch what you think is not important by watching you. I'm telling you, I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm just letting you know. The whole family needs to be here. The whole family. Don't leave people at home. Bring them all. Bring them all. They all need it. Everybody needs it. Your whole family. Why? You model by example. You model by example. And here's how. If you've worked anywhere, you know that employees pick the worst boss to say, well, so-and-so doesn't do it. Or the worst employee. They're going to look at the worst one and say, well, they don't do it. Well, they're not your standard. But guess what? That's nature right there. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Same thing's going to happen in this church. They're going to look at the lowest common denominator. That's why we have standards for teachers and workers. Because people are going to come in and they're going to look at the lowest common denominator. And they're going to say, that's the one I'm going to follow after. And the preacher's up here preaching something. And then, but you got so-and-so who's in some leadership position doesn't do it. And everyone's like, well, they don't do it. Whether they say it or not, whether they verbalize it or not, that's what they're doing. So we all need to be involved in this thing. You got to think beyond yourself, outside of yourself, because it's not just about you. Well, I'm tired. How many of you are tired in here? Amen. I'm like always tired. I mean, that's life. Amen. That's just life. If I could take a nap every day, I would. I can't always take a nap. I love nap time. Amen. I mean, as a kid, you hate it. As an adult, you want it. Don't get it. As a kid, you have to do it and don't want it. It's backwards, isn't it? It's just backwards. But look, we're always going to be tired. Let's kill our excuses, please. All of us. Me included. Because it's easy to fill our lives with things that don't matter. All of us can do it. Something came up. I'm telling you, here's what the killer is. When you're about to leave for church and somebody pops in, family pops in. Man, cut that thing short. So what? Come with us. Amen. You want to be with us? Amen. Good. Come to church with us. Oh, family came in and couldn't make it. Okay. Look, I'm just telling you, you just told your children what's more important. Say, no, we love the Lord. Okay, I'm just telling you, your actions told your children, your actions told other people here that something's more important. That's the reality of it. You might think, well, that's not what we're doing. Okay, look, that's fine. Again, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just telling you what your actions are showing everyone else. I don't know, maybe just been on my heart lately, this thing of just faithfulness, being faithful. It all falls in line with our theme. But being faithful. Now, come on, answer me. What would you think if you showed up here and I wasn't here? What? You have to be here. Why do I have to be here but you don't? Aren't we all members of this body? I just fill a role in this body. I'm just a mouth, if we could put it like that. We need a hand, though. Where are you at? And I get it. If you have work, you got to do that. I get that. I've been there. I understand that. I'm talking about when we miss for things that just, because we just got busy or whatever, because this isn't a priority. The Lord's house isn't a priority. And it's not about me. It's about Him. We're here for Him. That needs to be central to this. So it's easy to fill our lives with things. It's easy to say, I'm not going soul winning because this came up or this came up. I'm telling you, it's easy. I know. I mean, yesterday I was like, I didn't know, should I cancel, shouldn't I? Because it was hailing when I woke up in the morning. I hate when it's like that. I'd rather just have a blizzard come down. That's easy. But, I mean, we've come out before, and we get out there, and it's raining, and then I'm like, all right, well, someone is canceled. So it's like, what do I do? What do I do? I get it sometimes, you know, but we need to just be full in. Be committed to this thing, because it's easy to get away from the Great Commission. It's easy. I've oftentimes talked about, you can see the progression of somebody getting out of church and somebody backsliding. And it starts with usually Sunday night first is the first service they start to miss. Let me back it up one from that. I've been wrong on that. It's actually they start missing soul winning first. Because that's the hard one to do. And we could even say before then what we can't see, what's in their private life, before they stop missing soul winning, they stopped reading this. And they stopped spending time in prayer. That's where it starts. And then it shows up in stop going soul winning. Stop Sunday night. Stop Wednesday night. Stop Sunday morning. Hit and miss. That's the progression of it. So it's easy to let things get in the way and stop us from following God's mandate to win souls. We need to keep a priority on that. We can make excuses if we want to, but when we stand before God, none of that's going to matter. We will have to answer for our inaction. Look at this. I mean, Ezekiel here, he's a watchman. He tells him, God tells him, hey, their blood's going to be upon your hands. Their blood will be upon your hands. His blood will I require at thine hand, verse 18. Verse 20, but His blood will I require at thine hand. That's a warning God gives. Hey, judgment day's coming for the Christian too. We're going to stand before God and answer for our service to Him. That day is coming. And because we maybe don't look into the future and we don't see it, we think, I'm okay. I'm good, because there's not an immediate response from God about our inaction. He just sometimes, okay, all right. See, you ever done that with your kids? Maybe you just let them get away with something. You're like, all right, I don't want to whoop them. All right, I'll just let them get away with that this time. And they keep pushing it. All right. Hey, you straighten out. And eventually you got to whoop them. They've just gotten worse and worse. It just builds and builds and builds. And eventually you got to get after them. You got to whoop them. But it had to build up sometimes. See, God's long-suffering with us. He'll put up with a lot from us. But that judgment day's coming. Think, we got to think eternally. Psalm 73, go read that later. Psalm of Asaph. Asaph's getting all upset about everything. Because he's mad at the prosperity of the wicked. How come they're prospering? How come everything's good for them? But then you read through that chapter, he gets some eternal perspective. Amen, that's what we need. We need to start looking farther down the road, that it's not about right here. I'm setting my treasures up ahead. I want rewards up there. I want God to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what I want God to say. But that happens day in and day out as we serve God. It's not just like, oh, I think he's coming back tomorrow. I better get busy serving him. No, it's I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And 10 years from now, I'm still going to keep doing it. Even though I'm tired and maybe sometimes I don't even want to. But I'm just going to push myself to do it. See, because we have a responsibility to warn others. It's right there before us. What will help us and what will help to motivate us to share the gospel is a love for their souls. We need to cultivate that. Ask God for it. I mean, sometimes go drive around this city. Do what you got to do to weep for the lost people. Do what you got to do. Get around them. Drive out to the top of the hill here and look out on the lights of the city and think about all those lights, the number of souls they represent, and that probably 99% of them are going to hell. Woo! I don't know if it's 99%. It's above 90% for sure. That's 600,000 people. What is that? What's 90 times 6? What's 9 times 6? 54? 540,000 people. 540,000 people living in this city will die and go to hell. And God set us as watchmen. God's put that responsibility before us. You say, but wait, isn't salvation of the Lord? Amen, but He gave the responsibility to tell them to us. He'll save them, but they got to hear it. And who's going to tell them? We have to. His church. It's up to us to go deliver that message. Because we know God's word, it is incumbent on us to warn people of the judgment to come. We know what it says. We know their end. And we have to warn them. The first place we need to focus is receiving the message in our heart and mind. That's the first place we need to focus. It says there in verse 10, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, what does he say? Receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. It needs to be in our heart and in our mind. That's where we have to receive the message. Proverbs 22:17 says this, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and get this here, apply thine heart unto my knowledge. We've got to apply our hearts. That means we have to be purposeful in this. We have to choose to do this. We have to make that choice that we are going to, hey, willingly, openly receive God's word in our heart and hear it with our ears. We've got to accept what God says. Even when it goes against what we're living, we have to receive that word. So the first place we have to focus on receiving this is in our heart and mind. We need to accept the whole message, whether we like it or not. That's what he said. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words, not some of them, not most of them, not the parts that I like, but all my words. Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. He said, I gave it all to you. I didn't keep back any of it. And I'm telling you, look, when you get out there and you start talking to people and you're sharing the gospel with them, sometimes you're going to have to tell them some hard things. Sometimes you could see them getting mad. And you still have to share that with them. The message for Ezekiel was, hey, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. All of them, you got to be ready to accept all of them. Because you need to deliver everything I tell you. So we have to be ready to receive all that God has to say. Everything, not water it down as I talked about a few weeks ago and polluting it and diluting it. We can't do that. We have to receive all of it and deliver it just how God gave it. The message needs to affect us first. It needs to come into our heart and into our mind where we hear it. Hear it with our ears. Psalm 126:5-6 says, They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. But where did it start? They're sowing in tears. They're sowing in tears. It's affected them. The condition of the lost world's affected them. It hurts them. It breaks their heart. Does it break your heart? That somebody right now just stepped into eternity, and did they go to heaven or did they go to hell? Right now, another person just stepped into eternity. It said every 3 seconds somebody dies. Every 3 seconds someone dies. Another one. Another one. Another one. Do we care? See, it's got to affect us first. We have to receive the message deep in our hearts and minds, because there may be times it's hard to deliver. Verse 11, go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. You got to tell them anyway, because sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes they don't receive it. Sometimes they get upset. Sometimes they ignore you. Sometimes they laugh at you. But you got to be ready. You got to receive it first, and you got to own this. You got to believe it. You got to hold on to this thing. You got to own it. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. It says in verse 12, then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing. Verse 14, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. What is it? The Spirit of God's lifting him up. The Spirit of God took him, and he was allowing the Holy Spirit to lead him. And at first, it really seems like he doesn't want to do it. So the Spirit, verse 14, lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, like he was mad. He said, I don't want to deliver this message. I don't want to tell him. It's like almost like he was fighting God. But it says, the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. God says, you've got to. Like a burning in his bosom, as Jeremiah said. I wasn't gonna tell the word of God, but it was like a fire shut up in my bones that I had to get the message out. I had to tell them. Amen. That's what Ezekiel's talking about right here. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Sometimes maybe you tell your children, come here. They don't come to you. And then dad's hand goes and just grabs them. Man, the hand of dad was strong upon me. They're fighting and it just, okay, I'm right there. And that's what it's like, Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was strong upon him. Maybe behind him, just, no, go, Ezekiel. Says he was in bitterness. It says the heat of his spirit. I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. He was fired up about this. I don't get the idea that he wanted to. A bitter person doesn't necessarily, isn't excited about something. They're kind of angry, upset. In the heat of my spirit, I think he was mad. He said, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. We need to obey every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel was fighting God's leading, but ultimately he yielded. And I believe he yielded because we get to verse 15 and it says, then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib that dwelt by the river Kabar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. He sat where they sat. He just went among the people. He saw things from their perspective, if I could put it like that. And that's sometimes what we need to do. Just sometimes stop and just try and see things from, how is this person seeing it? And try and relate with them. Try and help them. You know, you don't always have to tell everyone everything that's sinful in their life. Look, that's going to be something we have to really rein in. Because we take a strong stand on the Bible, and I mean, we preach the Word of God. But we have to rein that thing in, because look, up here preaching is different than you go out there and talk to somebody. And we need to point out their sin to them and think, but look, you don't need to blast them with everything that you could see that they're doing wrong. You really don't. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that. Let Him do His job. We just point out the sin and the things that they maybe bring up, or the obvious things. I mean, if they bring up, you know, that they're, you know, worshiping in a different faith or whatever, and you know there's issues there that you need to deal with, then you're going to have to face those things. And that's sometimes when that message maybe is hard to deliver, but you still have to face those things. But you can do it lovingly. You can do it kind. You can do it with a smile on your face. With compassion in your voice, you can tell them. You know, you can't hold on to, you know, Mary worship and turn to the Lord Jesus. They're incompatible. Jesus is our only mediator. Jesus is the one that died for you, and He's offering you this gift. Mary didn't die for you. You may have to face them with that, but you don't have to be, oh, you're Mariolatry? Mary worship? Praying to devils? What good's that going to do? Yeah, you know that. But you don't have to tell them all that. Now, sometimes, I remember one time we were here, and I'm telling everyone, hey, don't argue with people. And then that very week, me and Kiko went out, and I'm arguing with some guy. But look, I'm telling you, there's sometimes you have to do that. You got to just set them straight. And that's where we follow just discernment, and the more you do it. But look at Jesus' example. He was very, He gave grace to the humble, those that were humble. But He gave law to the proud. I mean, even the woman at the well, he gave her the law. But He did it in a much different manner than He did the proud Pharisees. I mean, He just stuck it to them. And sometimes you're going to run into those people. Let me just hit you with this in the gut and pull it out and be like, all right, I'm out of here. You know, Lord, help them. Hope that helps them, Lord. There's a time for that. But look, we need to sometimes just see things from people's perspective. Sometimes you need to give the message time to develop in their life. They might not get saved right then. Leave an open door so we can go back. So the next person that talks to them, maybe their coworker that's saved and shares the gospel with them, has an open door and doesn't shut them out because they say, oh, you Christians, I just talked to one of you Saturday or whatever, or the store. I'm not going to listen to this because we've shut them out. And again, even as we go door to door, as we go out into the community, specific times to share the gospel, we need to handle that even differently than we would handle the confrontations with our family and friends. You have to. See, when you go out just on the streets, you run into somebody at the park or something, you share the gospel with them, you have maybe that 5-10 minutes to just interchange with them and you give it to them, get it all to them. But sometimes with family, you may get that opportunity. Other times you may not. It may just be a piece at a time. So just be sure you handle that delicately and pray about it as you reach out to family, as you reach out to friends, that there's still an open door there, that you don't alienate yourself from them because of the things that you've said, because you blast everything that they do that's wrong. Because it may be true, but they're going to take it as you're judging me. When you're not, you're trying to show them their sinfulness, so just be careful. And again, I'm not saying we water down the message. You still teach them the truth. You still show them that sin is sin. That you know, if you are ignoring and neglecting God, it's idolatry. Tell them that. If you put anything before God, you're an idol worshiper. If you pray to anything other than God, you're an idol worshiper. But you don't have to say those that pray to Mary and saints are idolaters. They'll get the message clear enough. Just go sometimes delicately. In our type of churches, we don't like to hear that. That's soft. You're compromising. No, we're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So just be careful in how we approach people. Use some wisdom sometimes. But Ezekiel, I believe his heart was changed when he got there to verse 15. And it says, "And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days." So we need to receive this message in our heart. Be willing to see things from people's perspective. And as we know the truth, that puts a responsibility before us to warn others and save life. We know the truth because we know the truth. Look, the day you get saved, you know enough truth that responsibility is on your shoulders. So now you have to warn others and save life. That's what's before us. Just as Ezekiel was commissioned to go deliver this message to his people, to take it to the house of Israel. And God said, hey, they're not going to hear you, but whether they hear, whether they will forbear, you need to tell them my message. Deliver it to them. And I'm telling you, that's the same commission we've been given. We've been commissioned to warn people. We just deliver the message. Hey, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's it. I'm planting or I'm watering and leaving it up to God. God can save the soul. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. Don't put that weight on your shoulders. Sometimes as people that go out and evangelize and share the gospel, we tend to put that weight on our own shoulders. And God, that's not our department. Our department is just to deliver the message. It's on God's shoulders. It's His responsibility to save them. We have nothing to do with that. We just say, look, what do you want, path A or B? You pick. You choose. Where do you want to go? That's what's on our shoulders. That's the responsibility that we have. That's the responsibility, let me say, that you have. You have that responsibility to go take that to people, to share that with people. Some of your friends. Some of your family. You have the responsibility to talk to them. Look, not your husband, not your wife. You sometimes have an in with people that someone else in your family does not. They will talk to you more than they will to anyone else in that family. And it's your responsibility to tell them. Because you know the truth, you have to warn them. Each of us in here has that responsibility before us. So just like Ezekiel was commissioned, so are we. And the message we deliver is always from the Bible. Look at verse 16. It says, there came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, look, the message is always from the Bible. We go back to the Bible. We're Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Just Ezekiel, same thing. Hey, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. What is the word of the Lord? That's the same thing we've got. We've got the word of the Lord, and that's what we go out and deliver. We have to let their condition impact us on a heart level. He said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Let their condition impact us. They're going to die. Jude 22 and 23 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Have compassion on them. Man, it ought to hurt us sometimes. They might go to hell. Have compassion on them, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Hey, you may have to get in some sticky situations. You may have to go down into the gutter to help somebody, but you hate the garment spotted by the flesh, but you save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Come on, get out! Right before they step into eternity, maybe. You reach in. You hate the garment spotted by the flesh. You say, I don't want that. But you care enough to go get them. You care enough to tell them. Do we? It doesn't matter their station in life. Some smelly bum walks in here, you should treat them like you would anybody else that walks in here. Don't shy away from them. Go right up to them. Hey, what's your name? Good to have you. I'm so-and-so. I'm glad you're here. Come sit next to me. But they stink. Yeah, but they're a human. They want people to care about them just like you do. Love them. But for the grace of God, that could be you. I'd venture to say most of us in this room are maybe, I don't know, a few paychecks away from being homeless. Maybe more, some of us. For the most part, though, if we don't get those paychecks coming in, that mortgage isn't going to get paid. Where will we be? That could easily be us. What if it was your child or something, your son, your daughter that was homeless, your brother, homeless. Did you want people to look down their nose at them? Just because they, whatever, fallen on hard times, maybe it is their fault. Would you still want someone to look down on them? Maybe they come in starving, got no food. Would you want someone to look down on them and say, I'm not going to help them. What are they even doing in here? Ugh. You want someone to treat them like that? Oh, go love them. Now, I'm mostly talking to men because it's usually a homeless guy that comes in. Ladies, you don't need to sit next to him or anything like that. But you can go talk to him. He's, hey, we're glad you're here. I'm so-and-so. You can introduce yourself to him. Don't look at them like they're weird. Just go talk to them. Man, I'm telling you, run up to them. Well, don't run up to them. Then they'll be like, what's wrong with these people? Everyone's going, ah, hey, come here. They'd be like, whoa, man, I'm out of here. All right, we don't want to do that either. But just, I'm just telling you, just treat them like you would anybody else. Go introduce yourself. Hey, come on, come sit with me and my family. I'm sitting next to you. Love them. Love people. Right where they're at. We can't neglect our duty to warn those in danger. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. You see, we can't neglect our duty to warn those in danger. He will die in his iniquity. Oh, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Always keep before you that we are delivering God's message. People are blinded by the God of this world and won't always appreciate what you're telling them. They're blinded by the God of this world. They don't necessarily care or want to hear what you have to say, but you've got to see their condition and you have to care enough for them to tell them. You have to be willing to bear reproach for the Lord. You've got to care enough for their soul even when they don't. I think one of the saddest things to me, I'd rather see somebody get mad or joyously receive it than the middle where they're just like, meh. Oh, okay, thanks. And just don't even want to hear it. And don't you care what's going to happen when you die? The indifferent, it breaks my heart. At least you got a reaction. You know, one of the two ends, they're at least thinking. They're at least thinking about it. But man, when you got the indifferent, that scares me. I'm like, watch out, because it's going to take something drastic in your life to get your attention. Is it going to take cancer hitting you to get your attention? It scares me. But people are blinded by the God of this world. They don't always want to hear what you have to say. Remember, you're saving life. It says to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. That's what it's about. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We have to care for them more than they care for themselves. 2 Timothy 2:25. This verse amazes me right here. It says, think about this. Go ahead and turn there if you would. 2 Timothy 2:25. In meekness. That means you don't need to go at them like a pit bull. You don't need in meekness. You know what that is? That's strength under control. Knowing that, that you're right. And they might mock you and everything else, but you know you're right, so you just go to them in meekness. Instructing those, get this, that oppose themselves. They're against themselves and they don't even know it. If God peradventure will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. They're against themselves. They're doing harm to their own self. And they don't even realize it. And that's who we have to go to. We have to care about them more than they care for themselves. Because they're after the pleasures of this world. They've been deceived by the God of this world. Their intellect has blinded them. And that's where they're at. They think that, oh, you just ignorantly follow whatever your preacher says, whatever that Bible says, you just ignorantly follow it. When we're going based off knowledge, and they're in ignorance. Because I'm telling you, most of the people that say that, they've never even looked into this. Ever. Ever. This book's a mirror. They follow the garbage of evolution. Why? Because it gives them a cloak. It gives them a covering for their sin. So, oh, I believe science. So that gives them that cloak that they want. And we're instructing them, though they oppose themselves. We are going to answer for the blood of those we could have, but didn't warn. Last half of verse 18 says, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. We're going to answer for the blood of those we could have but did not warn. That's all of us here. Look, that's why we got to look down the road farther. When I stand before God, what's he going to say to me? He said, I put you at that school, I put you in that workplace to be a missionary for me. I'm telling you, get this thought out of your mind that the mission field's somewhere else. It is not somewhere else. That's why I tell us all the time, when we read these prayer letters and we have hear from a missionary or something, amen, everything Brother Ben Du said, and I talked to him at lunch, everything he said, he said, I like what you're doing here. I'm glad you're doing that. We want to go over there and do the same thing. I'm telling you, the mission field's right here. You don't need to go anywhere to hit the mission field. God has put you where you're at to warn others, to talk to others. Don't put it off. You're going to stand before God one day and He's going to say, why didn't you tell your coworker? You know I was telling you. You knew I was convicting you. You knew I was prompting you. Why didn't you say something? And what are we going to do but just hang our head in shame and just like a scolded child? You know, answer for yourself and they're just like, we're going to stand before God like that. Just, sorry, Lord. And praise God we're saved, but what a shameful day that'll be. How horrible. When you're standing before Him, man, and He asks you, why? Why didn't you do anything? And you've got your head down and you look and you see those holes in His hand. Why didn't you tell Him? And you just, the reality of it all hits you. I was embarrassed. I was scared. Thought they might get mad. He just goes, okay. God's put you where you're at for a purpose. Because you can reach people that the person sitting next to you can't. You can. If you're willing to be a watchman, if you're willing to take that responsibility and tell others. Each man is going to answer for himself, but God will judge the watchman. The people that don't get saved, they're going to answer for that. And God will throw them in the lake of fire. But God's going to judge the watchman too, us. Those that should have sounded the warning. Their blood being required at our hand is another way of saying we're just as responsible for them as they are. We're just as responsible for them as they are. That's what it's talking about. Matter of fact, we had more information than they did and could have done something about it, but didn't. Because we know what's going to happen to them. They might think they know, but we know. And God can use that thing like we can't imagine. I mean, you could look at what Stephen did the day he preached there in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7. You can look at the preaching that he did and say that was an absolute failure. Nobody got saved, nobody heard that, and you ended up dead. Good job, Stephen. Loser. So you get to Acts chapter 9. And God shows up to the Apostle Paul, not yet, Saul of Tarsus. He says, oh, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, isn't it, Saul? What are you talking about? Who is this, Lord? It's Jesus whom thou persecutest. What wilt thou have me to do, Lord? Bam, instantly I believe he got saved right at that moment. It all just hit him, just like, you know, just, he's like, no. No! And I bet his thoughts flash back to Stephen, those rocks hitting him. Bam! Bam! As he hits the floor and his face looks like an angel. Lifts his hands up to heaven. No. No. But Stephen's message wasn't for nothing. You think, but they didn't even listen to me. They slammed the door in my face. You don't know how God will use that. You don't know what God's going to do with that. Just be faithful to warn them. God will deal with them. But He's also going to deal with us. The watchman will answer to God just as well. In heaven, it's going to be too late to say, I should have done this or that. Take care of what you can and should be doing for your Lord now. Be a watchman. Take care of it now. Stop putting it off. Stop making excuses. This applies to everyone in this building, including the man preaching this. Stop making excuses for why you can't or why you won't or why you're not going to right now. Obey every prompting of the Holy Spirit. As God's Spirit leads you, obey Him. Listen to Him. Be that mouthpiece. Even if you stutter and stammer through it, God can use that too. Amen? Why? Because it's not about the messenger. We got to get past that. We got to get past our pride. Because if you say, I can't do it because of fear, it's pride because you're worried about you. And it's not about us. It's about Him. Just deliver the message and let His power take over and convert that person, convict that person, and bring them to salvation. Be willing to just say it. So I don't know. I'm telling you, the first time I witnessed to somebody, I was so scared. I'm telling you, I handed them the track shaking because I was so scared and my voice was shaking. I'm like, hi, my name. It wasn't that bad, but you know how your voice is shaky when you're scared and it just kind of gives that little shake to it? That's how my voice was. You got to just get, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about Him. How much do I love my Lord? We love Him enough to be a watchman because there is a great responsibility He put on us. Not to save them, but to tell them. To tell them. And anybody can do it. Anyone in here right now can tell somebody about the Lord. Anyone. Are we willing to do it? Are you willing to be that watchman, to take that responsibility that God's given to you, to take it serious? Then look, it goes back to this too. Possess ye your vessel. It goes right back to that. Then you've got to sometimes make time for it. Change your schedule. Change your schedule. Move things out. Get rid of things. If that's what it takes so you could serve the Lord. Because we're all called to do it. But take advantage of the time that you already have as you're going to the grocery store, as you're standing in line with somebody, as you're talking to them. Try and spark up a conversation. It doesn't mean every conversation is going to turn to the gospel, but man, just get used to trying to do it. I mean, just small talk with people. I mean, what'd you think of the weather today? Wow, pretty crazy day, huh? And just see where the conversation goes. You have the intention, man, I'm bringing this thing around to the gospel. But it might not. That's okay. Just talk to them. Have tracks on you. Man, this helps. Amen. Sometimes at work, I can't always have tracks on me. But, man, just carry them. Because you can just be like, even if they're like taking off, be like, oh, hey, real quick. Hey, I wanted to give you one of these. It was nice talking with you. Have a good day. Let this do the talking for you sometimes. Let this do the talking for you. I don't know what to say. Okay, then just start giving them these. Here, did you get one of these? Seriously, walk up to a stranger. Just try it sometime. I don't care where you're at, anywhere, Walmart. Hey, did you get one of these yet? Well, what is it? Here, just check it out. Have a good day. Just take off. You know, run. Go around the corner, you know, so they don't see you. Just get out of there. But you'd be like, I did it. All right, thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo, I'm out of here. And then just go. But just do it. We can all do it. Let's pray.